Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. I've been trying today a little bit, and when Miss Eve got in from school, I had her to look at the Bible, and I tried to quote it, and I'm telling you right now, I didn't do real good. I at one time had this entire chapter committed to memory. It's a beautiful chapter, and of course, if you were here Sunday night, you know that Brother Paulie preached so wonderfully out of the chapter. But there's a thought that I want to look at tonight in the chapter that I believe will be a blessing to us. I like it when you go away from church and you're still chewing, don't you? Just chewing on the message, chewing on the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth. Let me just say this to you. The church at Corinth, if you understand the history, it was in a bustling location. It would be kind of like in our day going to New York or going to Los Angeles or going to Chicago. The trading was going on and the marketplace was busy. But also there was a lot of sinful activity that around the church at Corinth. And there was a lot of carnality in the church at Corinth. And I don't know why anyone would name a church Corinth Baptist Church, but I've heard of them. Amen. And I guess God's grace is sufficient for Corinth also. But just a little bit of background there. And the Apostle Paul addresses them early on about their division. You know, one of the things that sticks out in my mind, some were saying I'm of Paul, others were saying I'm of Apollos. And I tell you what, if we're not of Christ, we're in trouble. Amen. It may have been somebody that sticks out in our mind that had a great role in us coming to Christ. But the fact of the matter is, that's what counts, that we came to know the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecies and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I give, bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And then the Bible said, charity never faileth. That's where we're going to park tonight, right there. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, if I miss part of this, you just forgive me. I'm just trying. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Is it when I was a child? Okay, it is. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And then the Word of God said, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then shall we know even as also we are known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Would you pray with me just a minute? I just want to look at the thought, charity never faileth. Father, I want to thank you for the chapter in the Bible, for the challenge that our hearts have received, for the fire that has been rekindled in our hearts, our Lord, as we think about this passage of Scripture. Tonight, Lord, it's my prayer that we could just, Lord, gather in around the Bible and be blessed. But Lord, if you bless us tonight, there's a real good chance that we can go out of this building and be a blessing, Lord, to someone else this week. Lord, Easter's coming up, the day when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, a day set aside in the year to make much of the resurrection. Lord, we know we make much of that every Sunday, but Lord, we do thank you that there's a day set aside just to celebrate a risen Savior. Thank you, Lord, for dying for us. Thank you, Lord, for going to that grave. And Lord, we thank you that you didn't stay there, that you rose again for our justification. Lord, we love you and thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Charity never faileth. I want to just begin tonight by thinking about something that really, when I looked at this down through the years, I was thinking along the lines when it said charity never faileth, that charity will always get the job done. That's the way I was thinking, you know, like, it more or less that it would always work. Charity works, it'll always work, and that's true. But the primary meaning of what's being said right here is there are some things in the Christian experience that are going to end. That's what it means by faileth. It's going to be, see, where you remember there in the scripture where he said, charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, I've taught this down through the years, and I believe what I'm about to tell you. I don't believe we have prophets in the day and hour that we live in. I believe when that which is perfect has come, for many years I didn't understand. I thought that was talking about the coming of the Lord. But I believe with all of my heart, after studying, it was talking about the coming of the Bible. The Genesis to Revelation, the complete revelation. See, even in Paul's day, God was still revealing. He was still revealing a mystery. And so a prophet is one that tells the future. And we are not prophets in this generation. We're preachers. We're not foretellers. We're forth tellers. We tell forth. We preach forth what God has already put in his word. Amen. And so what God is saying is the prophecy is going to fail. It's going to stop. The tongues, they were a sign given to Israel. But he said it was going to stop. And you say, preacher, are you talking about tongues? Yes, tongues were a sign. They were languages. Amen. It was a miracle to be able to speak. And on the day of Pentecost, they all heard the word of God in their own language. And yes, it was a sign. And yes, it was going to fail. The knowledge, you say, preacher, what do you mean about that? Well, there's two ways to look at that. One would be a word of knowledge, like so many claim to have today. They'll get on the radio, they'll get on the television, and they'll say, somebody out there's got a headache, and God's going to touch your head right now. You forgive me tonight. Amen. But God said that's going to stop. Amen. And if you don't want to look at it that way, one way for sure that it's going to stop is that when the Lord Jesus would come. Amen. Of course, you've got to take one or the other. It's either talking about the coming of the Lord or the complete revelation of the Bible, the scripture. And I believe that's what it's talking about here. And then the knowledge, then we're going to know, even as also we're known. So there's not going to be any more knowledge to gain for God's people, because we're going to be like Christ. We're going to have the mind of Christ. And the questions will no longer be. Amen. All it'll be is answers. We'll know in that day. So charity never faileth. What it means is it's just, you see, when we get to heaven, there's not going to be prophecy in heaven, not going to be tongues in heaven. Are you listening to me? There's not going to be knowledge, amen, to be gained in heaven. But one thing that'll still be in heaven is love. God's love. And charity never, the word of God said, faileth. Charity never fails. It's not going to stop. It's not going to end. And so what I want to do tonight is look at five things, if I could, and you're hearing these things excited me. First, I want to look at the source
of this love that never fails. The Word of God said in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. How many believes that the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, I'll read more scripture in a minute, is the source of this love that we have in our hearts. Amen. I thought about this when I read that verse of scripture. I thought about the night God saved me. The night God saved me, it was in the altar about right there at Landmark Baptist Church in Glade Spring, Virginia. First thing I did, it was a long after church night. People were weeping. People were rejoicing. Found out right off the bat, as soon as I got off the altar, that the devil's a liar. He told me the whole time a preacher was preaching, they'd laugh at me. Told me they'd throw me out of the church. Told me they'd make fun of me. And I tell you, I didn't leave church that night without knowing the devil is nothing but a liar. Amen. People rejoiced. Went home. First thing I did is told Miss Eve I was sorry. Looking back on it, it seems funny. I can only imagine what might have went through her mind for just a few seconds. I said, honey, I'm sorry. I was weeping. I was broken. She said, for what? I can just imagine her thinking, I thought you went to church. Well, I did. Amen. And she said, for what? I said, I thought I loved you. Honest, you can ask her. I said, I thought I loved you. But I said until just a few minutes ago, I'm afraid I didn't know anything about love. All I loved was myself. Amen. But when God put His love in my heart, I tell you, it was easy to love my wife. It was easy to love my kids. It was easy to love the church. It was easy to love sinners. Amen. It was easy to love when His love burst forward in my heart. He's the source of this love that never fails. First John said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifest, the love of God toward us, because that He sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Somebody say amen. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Hereby, in verse 13, know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. Beloved, to have the Spirit of God in you is to have the love of God in you. And to have the love of God in you is to have the Spirit of God in you. So the source of this love is the Holy Spirit of the living God. Listen to what this verse says, 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. You know what I believe? I believe when our love dwindles down, how many's ever left your first love? That's what the Bible said Ephesus did. Amen. And when our love dwindles down, you know why it dwindled down? Because our communion with the Holy Ghost of God dwindled down. Amen. The Bible talks about them going hand in hand. Titus chapter 3, listen to this. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. How many members when you were foolish? Disobedient, deceived, serving divers or different lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hated one another. Verse number 4, but after that the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. I just say tonight, we never need to forget the source of this charity, this love that never fails. God is the source, amen. He's the head of the spring. He's the source, amen, of this living water. And then the second thing I want you to see tonight is the scope of this love that never fails. How far does it reach? Well, the first thing you would need to do is understand John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. How many believes God's love reaches around the world, around the globe? Amen. And I believe that as well. The scope of this love. Listen to what 2 Corinthians said, chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Beloved, listen. And he that died for all, that they might, and he that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Beloved, I just thought about something. You know, the doctrine of hyper-Calvinism is prevalent in our land. But that Bible right there didn't say that he died for a few or he died for some. That Bible said he died for all. And I believe that's the scope of his love. Amen. I believe every man, like Romans says, will be without excuse because he died for them. Amen. That's the scope of his love. And God said, if I died for them all, then they were all dead. You and I at one time were dead in our trespasses and sin. Let me get to this now, thirdly, tonight in the message. That charity never faileth. We see the source of that love that never fails. I see the scope of that love that never fails. You know, sometimes we wonder if God's love can even cover the Tri-Cities. You better believe it can, amen? And that's what we need. As a pastor preached on, or evangelist preached on Sunday night, beloved, the love of God, a revival of that love. And then the third thing I want you to see tonight is the seriousness of this love that never fails. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, listen to me tonight. How many in this congregation would be like to be labeled a Pharisee? I wouldn't want to be called a Pharisee, would you? You say, preacher, that's serious to call somebody a Pharisee. Yes, it is. Well, let me show you a verse of Scripture and explain. The Bible said, talking about the seriousness of this love that never fails. Luke chapter 11, verse number 42. Jesus said, but woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs. People that tithe. But God said they were Pharisee. See, God knows. I'm not going to call anybody a Pharisee because I can't see people's heart. But Jesus saw their heart. And he said, woe unto you. I'm just telling you, it's serious tonight to go through the motions without the love of God. Watch what the Bible said. He said, woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and Passover judgment and the love of God. That these ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. God didn't say trade tithing for the love of God, but he said you ought to have, my friend, not passed over judgment and the love of God. You ought to have done it all, amen, in the love of God. Without the love of God, we become like the Pharisees. Think about that for just a minute. Looking good on the outside while we stink on the inside. Beloved, I don't know about you, but I don't want to live like that. I was listening to Brother Brian teach a while back. It's been a while. And there's sometimes I don't get in here and Brother Richard looks for me. I appreciate that. And he knows if I'm not in here, he makes me a Sunday school CD. It's one thing for me to stand here and tell you that I love the church. But Brother Brian said something in that Sunday school lesson. My heart melted and my eyes filled with tears when he said it. He was teaching and he said, I think I'm pretty close verbatim. He said, I'll tell you one thing. Our pastor loves this church. You know what I would be if I didn't? A Pharisee. Amen. I'm just saying it's serious. At the judgment seat of Christ, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Beloved, not only are our actions going to be weighed, but our motive is going to be weighed. Amen? Why we did what we did. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, our greatest knowledge is to know, I like this, that we know nothing. That man was well educated. And he said, our greatest knowledge is to know that we know nothing. What did Paul say? He was educated at the feet of Gamaliel. And listen, he had a great education. He said, put it in a pile. I count it but dung that I might win Christ. Not saying he was against education. But he said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Christ and Him crucified. He said, it's not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in power and in demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, I believe that when Paul stood to preach, I believe the people understood that he had the love of God in his heart. I've thought about this song. I could only remember one line in the song. And I looked it up. The first verse says, if you could own all the world and its money, build castles tall enough, they'd reach the sky above. If you could know everything there was to know about life's game, still you'd know nothing till you've known the love of God. The chorus said, until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he trod. Until you've known just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you've known nothing until you've known the love of God. I believe that, don't you? It's a serious thing, beloved, to go through the motions of church, the motions of Bible study, the motions of prayer, the motions of tithing, the motions of witnessing even, without the love of God shed abroad in our heart. You say, well, preacher, I believe that's impossible. I don't. That's why would Paul pray for, we'll get to it in a moment, the church at Ephesus the way that he prayed for them. Let me give you this tonight. We've looked at the source of this love that never fails. The scope, how far does it reach? The seriousness of this love that never fails. Let's look number four at the security in this love that never fails. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 37, the Apostle Paul said, nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many is persuaded of that tonight? The love of God is where we're secure. And beloved, listen. Our security is not in that we love God. Our security is in that God loves us. But how we ought to. The Bible uses the word ought over and over. If God so loved us, how we ought to love one another. How we ought to love Him. Matthew Henry, bringing me into the last thing in the message, he said that faith fixes on the divine revelation. Think about what I said in the beginning. Charity never fails. It's not going to end. Faith fixes on the divine revelation and assents thereto, relying on the divine Redeemer. Hope fastens on future happiness and waits for that. But in heaven, faith will be swallowed up in sight. And hope will be swallowed up in the enjoyment of heaven. There's no room to believe. There's no room to hope when we see and enjoy the splendor of heaven. But there, love will be made perfect. There, we shall perfectly love God. How many's looking forward to that day? When you look at yourself and you look at your love for God, does anybody feel like they come up a little bit short? When you look at your praise for God, Does anybody feel like they come up a little bit short? When you look at your thanksgiving to God, does anybody feel like they come up a little bit short? I tell you, one day, Brother Calder, we're going to thank Him the way He ought to be thanked. We're going to praise Him the way He ought to be praised. And we're going to love Him with a perfect love the way He ought to be loved. We're striving now. But I tell you, that day the striving will be over. It'll be perfected, amen, in us. He said here, we'll perfectly love God, and there we shall perfectly love one another. Blessed state, how much surpassing the best here below. God is love. Where God is to be seen as He is, and face to face, their charity is in its greatest height, and there only will it be perfected. The psalmist said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with Thy likeness. Can I say something tonight without sounding rude or hateful? Too many of God's people are satisfied now. They're satisfied while the world's going to hell. They're satisfied with real cream religion, a little dabble, do ya? I'm just going to go ahead and say it. They're satisfied with one service a week and some of them two services a month. We that are here tonight should not be satisfied. We should want a closer walk. We should want His blessings on our life that we might reach others with the gospel of Christ. Brother Ralph, we have a great choir. Would you say amen right there? I don't know how many times Brother Gale has leaned up to me on Sunday night and said, how many pastors would give their right arm to have a choir like that on Sunday night? I don't take it for granted. But you know what, Brother Ralph? We should not be satisfied. What I want to do, Brother John said in Sunday school, a little better. Not for pastor, not for our recognition, but for His glory. Amen. What would be wrong if the day come, Brother Ralph, when they couldn't all get in the choir and some had to stand down through here? Be a thing wrong with that, would be, brother. Lift up our voices unto Him. The last thing in the message tonight, I want to look at the second coming of our Lord and this love that never fails. And look how they tie in hand. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 10, the Bible said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Let me ask you something tonight. When we appear before that judgment seat, would you want to be found faithful? Would you want the Lord to say, because you've been faithful over a few things? Listen to me. A while ago when I was talking about church, God knows about work schedules, Brother David. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that say, the lake, church, I'll take the lake. I mean, knows what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, beloved, being providentially hindered. That's not going to come up at the judgment seat of Christ. But when we choose the pleasures of this world, amen. Not talking about sickness, Sister Kathy. Arnold would much rather be here. I know that. Brother Larry Winkle would much rather be here. I've told those men when I don't see them, I know they're hurting bad. Because lots of times they're hurting bad when they're on the pew. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not about people that are well able You say, well, preacher, you going to fuss at them? Nope, never has helped and it never will. But I'm making a statement tonight. The day will come. There'll be some regrets. There'll be some regrets. Well, I could go into illustrations about that, but I won't. The Bible said here, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. You say, preacher, why did you read that text about the second coming? Because I read the verses earlier. You go right down and it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Nothing will keep us on the right track like loving God and looking for him and believing that he's coming. He's coming. Listen to what the Bible said in Jude. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You see, us being in the love of God has nothing to do with God's responsibility. That's got to do with our responsibility. He put us in the family. He'll keep us in the family. Grieve not the Spirit of God, where you by your seal to the day of redemption. But it's our responsibility to keep ourselves in the love of God. That means I better keep myself in the Bible. Help me. Say amen. That means I better keep myself in prayer. Say amen. That means I better keep myself in the house of God. Amen. That means I better keep myself concerned about people that are dying without Jesus, leaving this world without him. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. The Bible said, and the Lord direct your hearts. I want you to see how they're tied together. Direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. They go hand in hand. If you want to love God more, who was the preacher, Miss Eve? I can't remember him. Brother, oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue. When he prayed, he would, I think I can remember it. He said, Lord, help us to see you more clearly and help us to serve you more sincerely and help us to love you more dearly. Every time he prayed, that's what he would pray. Who was it, Miss Eve? No, one brother Mike. I've got this. I think it starts with a B, and I can't remember it. I can't remember it. That's okay. I know, but I can't remember it. Amen. How many believes we could see him more clearly? How many believes we could serve him more sincerely? You know how that'll come? When we love him more dearly. When we love him more dearly. Listen to what the Bible said here. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Listen to Ephesians, and I'm done. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul, the man of God, is on his knees for the church at Ephesus. John had written that they had left their first love. Maybe Brother Rose, the Apostle Paul, saw some symptoms of this. Is the reasons he's praying the way he's praying. I don't know, but listen to his prayer. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. The man of God's praying for the church. to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I tell you what, if you get full of God, you'll be full of love. If Pastor gets full of God, he'll be full of love. Amen. He said, with all the fullness of God. Now unto him, now watch this, that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, if you take that verse out of context, it still means that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But what it's talking about in its context, if we would ask him, he would fill us with his love. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church. Let me just say this tonight. I thank God for our church. I think Brother Gary, Brother Paulie spoke to you after church Sunday night and said something like he believed you had a good church here. Let me just say this to you tonight. I believe the more love, the more glory. Help me. The more some sinner can come through that door and sense that they're loved, the more some Christian that's been hurt, stepped on, cast to the side, could come to that door and find us loving one another and loving God and loving them, the more glory we'll see in the church. I believe that. Unto him be glory in the church. There's a whole lot of people that believes that there's glory outside the church. But I'm going to tell you something. In these days, that's where God, beloved, wants his people to meet. And I don't believe tonight that God's glory can be confined to the church, but I believe that God's glory will excel and shine in the church of the living God. Now watch this now. How many remembers how we started? Charity never faileth, right? Let's look at this. Verse 21, unto him be glory in the church. By Christ Jesus, listen to these words, throughout all ages. Charity. World without end. And then Paul found it necessary to say, amen. Prophecies, they'll fail. Tongues, they'll cease. Knowledge, it'll vanish away. That's one of the reasons I believe what a love now, and it won't be new to us when we get home. Amen. Love one another with a pure heart fervently, the Bible said. It's a joy tonight to be here. It's a joy to know that the Bible said that charity never faileth. Go home, Sister Kathy, and tell Brother Arnold the pain's going to stop. Not his love. It'll never stop. Our sorrow is going to stop. I mean stop. It's going to come to a sudden stop. But not his love. Throughout all ages, world without end. Trying to think of a verse. Old Brother Rightly Salin used to quote it. Oh, goodness. I'll think of it after a while. I'll tell Miss Eve, see if I can get a shout out of her. Amen. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight. What's the title of the lesson tonight? Talk to me. Okay. That was almost like putting hearing aids on. I heard you. Charity never faileth. Amen.
Thank you for being here. Thank you, Sunday school teachers, for loving your class, for studying your lessons. Thank you for what you do. Everybody in the church, jobs after jobs after jobs, couldn't even mention them all. But one day, God, He's got a record that's right. He knows exactly where the reward belongs. Amen. Reminded of a little story I heard years ago. This fellow was helping the preacher. He helped him all week. On Monday, preacher said, "Son, I'm telling you, the Lord's going to pay you real good." On Tuesday, the preacher said, "Son, I'm telling you, the Lord's going to pay you real good." On Wednesday, Thursday, the same. On Friday, he said, "Son, the Lord's going to pay you real good." That man looked at the preacher and said, "Preacher, tell you what. Why don't you just pay me and let him pay you? You know him better than I do." Brother Gary, don't y'all start that on me. Amen. 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 Don't you be grinning at me like that, Houston. I'll double your pay, buddy. How's that? Amen. Amen, Brother Jim, out of work on it. Amen. Where's Jim Richmond at tonight? Is he not back there? He leave me? I saw him before church. I thought he was here. Okay. He ain't laying down back there asleep, is he, Brother Richard? Amen. Let's stand tonight. We'll be dismissed in the fear of the Lord.